Blog Talk Radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock! Listen, listen! This is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio! You better all listen!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
That's Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Fine, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Boom. All you had to do was listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, you homie. Fuck that. Black G, out.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
And you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
J-Cat and fucking Eric Lawrence cannot fucking keep this from the public, that they are fucking dyed-in-the-wool, true blue fucking members of fucking Cult Fiction, and motherfuckers need to keep that shit in fucking mind.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
J-Cat Morris and Eric Williams, your hosts of Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Yakuza Kick Radio.
Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. It is August 18th. 2011, and I'm joined by my co-host as always, and that is Eric Williams. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, J-Cat, long time no see. It feels like I haven't seen you in years.
Yeah, or since Sunday, either way. yeah, man, you know, coming off a pretty big week of wrestling, you know, between the huge CZW show on Saturday, SummerSlam on Sunday, Raw on Monday, which, you know, isn't as big always, but, you know, bunch of things.
Wednesday, and Thursday's Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yeah, a bunch of things to talk about tonight, and, you know, we'll get right into it.
Can you believe tomorrow's already Friday? The fucking week went real fucking fast.
Yeah, the week did go pretty fast. Sometimes
same
that happens.
Bullshit for me. Same old bullshit for me. Got to work this weekend. Got to work every fucking goddamn weekend. Yeah, whatever.
Right, right. Well, what can you do?
Nothing.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I figure, we'll get right into it. Let's talk. I guess we'll start off talking some WWE. I guess they work more shows this week than anybody else, so we'll jump into them first. Guess we'll start off going through SummerSlam, if you'd like to kick that off.
Yeah. So the six-man tag match was the opener. That was Mysterio, Morrison, and Kofi Kingston versus R-Truth, Miz, and Del Rio. Kind of one of those matches with people that didn't have any storyline, you know, matches. Like, I mean, they could have fucking did something with R-Truth and Morrison in the pay-per-view.
All right. So, you know, to preface, I had actually missed probably the first half of the SummerSlam. You know, as I don't know. But so the first match was actually what? It was Del Rio.
Del Rio, R-Truth, and The Miz versus Rey Mysterio, John Morrison, and Kofi Kingston, six-man tag.
Okay.
Hey, what's going on, Nina? Just shout out real quick.
Yeah.
The six-man tag match was a lot of good stuff. I'm surprised that, you know, they didn't give, you know, at least two singles matches out of this six-man tag. I'm surprised they went with this six-man tag deal. Other than some, you know, the normal stuff out of Mysterio, Kingston, and Morrison, it felt on the heel side of things that, you know, there was tension in the air. You know, as for most heel tag teams, you know, you usually have that tension of who's the bigger or who's the leader type deal. That match was good. The faces went over in that one.
Right.
And then did you get a chance to check out Kelly Kelly and Beth Phoenix at all?
No, I didn't. I want to say the first three matches.
So you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised when I tell you that now Beth Phoenix and Natalya are fucking they're teaming up together.
Yeah, no, I like that. I definitely saw that on Monday. The on Sunday thing. I had heard the finish of the match when, you know, general crushing heel being Beth Phoenix getting beat with a roll up by you know, the champion and her retaining. But how did the match actually go down?
I mean, it was your basic women's match. I can't really say it was too crazy, but, you know, normal fucking women's match, normal. Well, the crowd was, you know, a normal women's match. You know what I mean? Crowd was sitting there going, fucking, why the fuck is this happening now?
Right.
So that's pretty much that. And then they had, I think I'm missing a fuck. Oh, yeah, fucking, there was two matches I fucking did not want to put on that fucking piece of paper. That next match was fucking Mark Henry versus Sheamus. I don't understand how a fucking face Sheamus can fucking lose to Mark Henry. A heel Mark Henry.
Well, honestly, I'm loving the Mark Henry push. I honestly think we are in the last run of Mark Henry. And him being like a legitimate beast. Like, this guy can legitimately take people the fuck apart. Like, if he wanted to, he can actually hurt people. Like, it would take like a six-man fucking police team to get him out of the building if he got fucking really upset. So,
I'm sorry to keep interrupting you, but here's my question, Jay, and I know you're going to have an answer. Why did it take so goddamn long for them to figure it out, finally, that this is the role for Mark Henry? Why the fuck did they wait so goddamn long and do all this fucking face stupid shit, and now all of a sudden people actually give a shit about Mark Henry and are worrying about Mark Henry? You know, why couldn't they do this from the start?
Well, WWE booking has never been consistently good. There is more politics in WWE than there is anywhere else in the business, and the business is riddled with politics. But when you reach the highest echelon of the business, which is the WWE, believe me, you better be in with somebody or you ain't fucking going nowhere. You know, everything better be going a certain way, otherwise, if you don't fit into that plan, you're cast aside. And I mean, you know, you got to consider that overall, I mean, Mark Henry has fit into the plan of existing in the company and not getting fucking released and not getting sent anywhere, not getting anything. This guy has been employed for what, fucking 20 years? I mean, how long has he actually been employed with the WWE? So he hasn't done too bad by himself. Yes, he didn't get complete pushed, but there's been different monsters in the company that they really didn't want it, you know. I mean, you can only have so many crushers. You know, in the era of a Brock Lesnar, you couldn't have Mark Henry be the baddest guy in town because Brock was. You know, Brock was a guy who was going to collide with him and he'd throw him around, which he did. There's a lot of things like that. I think the fact that Mark Henry actually has now entered this final chapter of his career, you know, regardless of how long it lasts, I think it forces him, either now or never, give Mark Henry his full fucking monster push, and we're getting it. And that's why, like, I don't really have a problem with him, like, you know, squashing up fucking Sheamus. And, you know, I surely don't have a problem with him squashing Kane and Big Show, because I can't stand either one of them, and I think they're completely worthless, but Sheamus will be back. Sheamus will have fucking many years where he becomes the guy that nobody's fucking with. And, I mean, he's honestly had a good amount of shine in the young parts of his career already. So, I don't have a problem with it. I didn't see the match, but I actually heard good things about it, that it really went over well. So I'll probably have to go back and watch that match, but I'm not against it.
Yeah, it was a decent match. The next match was I don't even know if it was fucking Intercontinental title. I don't even know. No, he does not have a fucking Intercontinental title. What am I thinking? Former fucking whatever Intercontinental U.S. Champion Daniel Bryan versus Wade Barrett. That was a really good
match.
That
would be the first match that I saw, and I liked the match a lot. Like, I really thought that was a good match.
Finish was pretty good. I like the finish. The finish out of that was the fucking Rock.
What's that?
I said the fucking finish was fucking really good, though. I thought the finish was good.
Well, I mean, the thing is, too, like, yeah, Wade Barrett went over and everything like that, but it didn't go where it made Daniel Bryan look like shit. I thought it really made him look like a legitimate competitor. He hit a lot of hard-hitting shit. That, like, you look and you're like, wow, that's a bigger dude, but I would hate to be hit with that fucking flying knee or this or that. Like, he hit a lot of crazy shit in that match that, like, you know, really has to put Daniel Bryan out there as a legit competitor, you know, regardless of what title or what push they're giving him. He's always kind of been on the fence. Hasn't really gotten the fan reaction I'd like him to get. He's put out strong outings in several occasions, and I just, you know, I'm glad to see him go head-to-head. And not only, you know, hey, you know, get put in a good light because he won the match or he got put over. No, he lost the match, and he still looked fucking awesome. And that's something that I like a lot because it shows a lot more out of a personality. If you're able to lose a match and still come out looking phenomenal, so.
Right. But where would you put him from here if you were the mastermind behind the controls of WWE? Where would you take this from here with Daniel Bryan looking good? I mean, there's got to be a reason why he's allowed to look so good. Do you think they have long-term bigger plans for him, or do you feel that it's just going to be floating around for a while?
Well, I mean, with the WWE, there's really no telling. They play a lot of tests. They play a lot of testing people, you know, in different aspects and different ways. Sometimes they'll just put a guy down for 6 months where you don't win a single match, and they really don't push you, and it's just up to you to stand out somehow. You know, there's times that they'll give you a push that you don't even deserve, and to see how you handle it. Like, I don't know, man. I have no idea where they're gonna go, where they should go. I'm, you know, of course, you know, as a wrestling mark, I always look for, like, I'd love to see this match. I'd love to see that match. I'm a, you know, a dream match kind of guy. But, now, of course, they're going to have to settle within, you know, certain feuds and certain things. And, of course, you know, down the road, somewhere down the road, I'd love to see, you know, a CM Punk and Bryan Danielson feud or Daniel Bryan feud, whatever you want to call it. Like, that type of thing. These guys know each other. They definitely could work really well together. And, you know, if the Kings of Wrestling come in, there's another phenomenal thing. I mean, the Chris Hero and Daniel Bryan and, you know,
Claudio
even...
Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, and, you know, even, you know, there's so much styles clashing going on because of, you know, your lack of a junior title. I mean, the Evan Bourne Daniel Bryan connection would be really, really strong, I believe. Daniel Bryan is just a great worker. And you put him in there with somebody else who has the flash, who has the ability to get the attention of the fans and stuff, then, you know, I think everything's going to come together really, really well. He's a hard-hitting guy. He can hang with anybody, really. So,
right.
I'm up for whatever. As long as they keep him on
TV,
and they keep giving him a chance. Oh, yeah.
I wish that he was still fucking, like, able to do fucking indies, because I would love to see Daniel Bryan versus Sami Callihan.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, of course you get your indie dream matches and all of that stuff. But the other thing is, yeah, man, I mean, if shit, I hope that they fucking try fucking Samoa Joe out of TNA, and we finally get, like, the Samoa Joe push and, the, you know, him able to try to give it fucking the Samoa Joe that we had in the indies. I think the door is now a little more open into WWE. He's actually gotten praise from Stone Cold and several other people just as viewers of TNA. I don't know why they're watching TNA, but just as viewers of TNA, they gave praise
to
Samoa Joe.
They're the only ones watching TNA.
Right. It's funny when they have to thank, you know, inactive WWE employees for their fucking ratings. But, yeah, that's the bottom line. No pun intended, but that's the bottom line. And Stone Cold says that, yeah, it's his favorite guy to watch. And, you know, and that's his favorite worker right now and this type of stuff, which is crazy because this is nowhere near. I don't know if he is watching, like, old ROH tapes or what he's actually watching because, I mean, the stuff he's doing on TNA right now is definitely not the best Samoa Joe work. Not that he's completely destroying, like, you know, matches or anything like that, but, I mean, honestly, you go from Samoa Joe now to the, you know, back then working fucking Kobashi and fucking, oh, man. I mean, the shit that he was doing back then was just lights out. You know, his AJ matches back then, his damn Moth matches, his low-key matches, his fucking homicide matches, ballistic, fucking Jay Briscoe matches. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on and on. And
That's when Joe had the belt. That's when the good ROH stuff was when he had the belt.
Right, absolutely. But there's no way to get that back without putting him in another situation, which being the WWE. So I'd really like to see that. I'd really enjoy that, you know, being revisited. And honestly, the only way for that to happen is for him to get signed over there. So I'm hoping he's able to get Pride out of there. And that would be a guy that I see a lot of things that could be done with. And, you know, a lot of people say the bloom's off the rose with the guy. It's not going to happen. Samoa Joe's too fat, blah, 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 blah. Well, they would have said that also before. And I know he's packed on a few pounds. But honestly, you know, it's actually exaggerated from what people say, because if you would see him years ago in Ring of Honor, you'd say, I don't know, that doesn't look like anything special. And then you'd see one of his matches, and you'd go, holy shit, this fucking guy can go. And he's kind of been put in, you know, Vince Russo, Eric Bischoff land, where everybody's a little less credible. But let's be real, I mean, it's nobody comes off the way they did. If they were on a high point in another company, I don't think anyone looks like a bigger star in TNA. So I would rather blame it on that and say that I don't think Samoa Joe's missing as much as it looks like. I think he'd be just fine in another place. So of course we'd have to see. But yeah, so back to the pay-per-view.
Right. And then we had Christian defending the title. I don't know if it's called the WWE title, the World Heavyweight, whatever, against Randy Orton. And guess what? Randy Orton fucking comes away with the strap. What's your thoughts on Orton fucking getting the strap now?
Well, let me tell you from the start. Here's my thoughts on this. I don't like the Snake Man. I cannot stand Christian. He is one of the most boring, like, you know, they label him as Captain Charisma, but, like, it's funny that they ever did that because he lacks charisma more than probably anybody else in the fucking WWE. So it's amazing. He just stands there with a stupid smirk on his face. That's, like, his whole gimmick is just fucking standing there. And his promos are bland. His fucking wrestling is bland. He doesn't do a whole lot wrong in the ring, but he's not exciting whatsoever. So, when that match was about to come on, I said, hey, fuck it. Right after the previous match was over, and they're like, up next, fucking the Snake Man and Christian. I said, well, I'm going to take a shower. So I went, took a shower, I come out. And wouldn't you fucking believe it? The match didn't even start yet. They managed to work a fucking Edge speaking segment, which I am glad that I missed that because it's another guy I can't fucking stand. But they worked Edge in there to talk for a little bit. And I was like, fuck, I didn't miss any of this match at all. God damn it. So then the guys came out, and I was pleasantly surprised. They tore this fucking, they tore it up in this match. You know, with the whole no DQ thing, they did a lot of fucking cool spots and stuff, and I didn't expect that because I just don't like either of these guys. I don't really expect to be impressed out of these guys. It's the same old shit out of both of them. So, no, I was surprised. I liked a lot of things in the match. You know, there was floor bumps and fucking all sorts of shit. You know, the finish with the RKO on the steps looked awesome. I legitimately like this match. And I mean, there's two ways I thought about the finish as far as who got the belt storyline-wise, because I can say one thing. I can say, well, you know, Daniel Bryan has that money in the bank. I know you pointed out fucking he's going to cash it in fucking 24 months or some silly shit like that. But 3 years from now, I'm cashing it in. Mark your calendars, boys. You know, that type of thing. But, you know, my eye is always on new guys, guys that haven't gotten it before, not the same old fucking faces with the belt. And in my opinion, I think Christian would have less problem with putting over another guy. So my thing was, like, Christian with the belt is kind of good because even though the booking is going to do what they're going to do, I think he's not going to put up a whole lot of fuss about putting over a young guy. However, Randy Orton, I think, might have a little more to say about how he wants it to go down. Will it be a clean finish? And should it be the first match? Or should I think just arrogance-wise and everything like that and what he's already had, I think that's going to come into a little bit more play on who gets the belt next. So I'd probably rather Randy Orton as a wrestler have the belt. But, of course, I want to move somewhere else anyway. And I just felt like it'd probably be an easier transition if it went from Christian to somebody else than it would Randy Orton. It's just speculation and just my opinion. But either way, like I said, I like the match quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, same here. All right, now we have three categories that we're going to talk about. We're not going to talk about one, you know, all at once, but the actual match between John Cena and CM Punk.
Well, I mean, it was good. It was good. I think. I think the match previous month was better. Partially
right.
Because of the emotion and the build-up to it. I think the match was just overall better. You definitely had more people on the edge of their seat the month before. So I think putting on a match like that and then just doing a rematch, no stipulation, no nothing really, like adding another belt to it, like either way, winner walks away with a title. So it's not really adding a belt because, I mean, the first one was for a belt too. So, but, you know, the one less belt and the guy you know, talking about leaving the company and never coming back with said belt, I think still had more fucking aura than two belts or 12 belts or fucking, you know, a whole fucking truck full of belts. Like, I don't think it made any difference in the world to add two belts for the sake of doing it, to unify the belts. The belt existed for a fucking, what, a week, 2 weeks? Like, fuck out of here with that shit. You know, and so... It was just retarded. The whole second belt thing was retarded to begin with. It took a lot of wind out of the sails of that fucking feud, and it wasn't a bad match, but, you know, first one, hard act to follow. So,
yeah.
That's how I felt about the match.
And then, CM Punk goes over, and out of nowhere, Kevin Nash comes flying in and fucking, clothesline, fucking jackknife.
Yeah.
Leaves. Just off
this
from that whole thing.
This is classic bullshit that goes on in the WWE and many, many companies where, you know, the fucking 52-year-old man, because he's fucking huge friends with fucking Triple H or whatever the case was that got him interjected into this storyline. Like, when a storyline is as over as the CM Punk storyline is, why the fuck would you take old fucking faces and throw them into there? See, you often have to look for, okay, we know we have history. We are a historical company. We have many, many things we can look back upon. We can only look back at the past when we have nothing in the present or anything to look forward to in the future. That's really all we can do is look backwards. But now when we have a really hot storyline, what's probably the worst thing that we can do? We can take a 52-year-old man who has no fucking work left in him, who even if people decided that they conjured up some fantasy match in their mind where it was going to be a unbelievable match and now CM Punk versus Kevin Nash is going to happen, well, that would be horrible. It won't live up to shit. He had to grab the top rope to throw a big boot in the fucking Royal Rumble, and now he fucking, oh, he got a text message on his phone. I'm surprised he doesn't still have a fucking rotary phone. This guy's so old, it's fucking ridiculous. I don't know how the fuck they make the decision, like, who can we have run in? Oh, what can we do? Oh, I bet we could do this. No, instead, like, okay, they signed Colt Cabana. You want to make a real fucking hot angle out of this? Have Colt Cabana come in and fuck CM Punk. What a fucking story you can make out of that. And the chemistry between the two of them, if you spark that feud up, believe me, unbelievable. Like, you're going to see some of the best matches you've seen in a while. Fuck him and Cena. But you're going to see some serious shit. But, I mean, that's just, you know, indie wrestling Mark talking. That's not likely to happen, especially within the main event storyline, a guy to debut and just get forced into there because he's his friend. So I don't really expect that. But I'm just saying, like, random idea that's a whole lot better than a 52-year-old man. I'd go with that. I'd go with a lot of other things. And I'm sure the next thing that we're going to talk about is Alberto Del Rio capitalizing. I don't have a problem with that.
Well, first off, the Punk and Cena match ended with some controversy because Cena's foot was underneath the rope.
Yeah, I don't even know if that was planned, if it wasn't planned. I have no idea what the fuck happened there. They pointed out on air, so it had to have been planned. I don't know, dude.
Right. And then Alberto Del Rio, after the whole Kevin Nash thing, powerbombs him, and Del Rio fucking comes out with another referee and cashes the Money in the Bank, and he's the new champ.
Yeah, honestly, I don't have a problem with that. Kind of have a problem with the fucking chop block Mike Vick just threw to a dude's knees. But anyway, I don't have a problem with that. Like, Del Rio, he is another one of those future stars. Obviously, he has a good amount of spotlight right now, so you could just go ahead and call him a star now if you'd like. But I'm just saying, like, a guy that's going to be valuable to the company for a while. I think he has the personality. He has the, you know, he has the ability to work. He has a lot of things in the company that are going to work, and it's going to continue to work for a while. So I don't have a problem with him. I mean, pretty much everyone that wins the Money in the Bank gets the title sometime during the year. So it doesn't surprise me, and it really doesn't upset me at all. The 52-year-old man that has to now be involved and get embarrassed, you know, in a little promo showdown on Monday, well, that fucking upsets me a little bit, you know. And it should upset Kevin Nash, too, when Mr. Fucking Legendary, Mr. I've made more fucking money than bigger stars than me in the company because I was a phenomenal politician throughout my career. I just got made look like shit by a young guy in front of a big-ass crowd. You didn't get the diesel chance that you did at Royal Rumble, did you, buddy? No, you didn't. So that's too bad. I hope reality is actually going to fucking smack you in the face really fucking soon, and maybe you can come to terms with your own ego, and you know, maybe they'll stop booking you as if you're a superstar, because you stopped being that probably 10 years ago. You know, when the fucking Wolfpack ended, you stopped being shit. So, yep.
And yeah, Kevin Nash is fucking wasteful. I don't know why they're bringing him back. Fucking stupid. Fucking stupid.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Fucking bullshit!
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Anyway, do you want to go to a, do you want to take a break and then we'll go into Raw, or do you want me to just go right to Raw?
Yeah, I guess we could take a break. Speaking of old men, I guess, let's bring a little tie in here. Let's go with two of them. Let's go with the angry grandpa talking about Hulk Hogan.
My old brother, I'm old. I wear Pampers. I got fake hair. I'm a sellout. Who am I? I'm Hulk Hogan, brother. How can you get on the TV, on ABC News morning show, and say they need to send you over to England, and you're going to do some leg drops? You're going to give them some arm bars. So we're talking 11, 12, 13-year-old kids. And this is something else you're doing. I'm baffled. You're actually going to unveil a picture of your daughter in the nude. Is there a little incest going on there, Hulk? Hey, Brooke, are you eating a little bit of Terry's bologna? Why are you so stupid? You killed me, Hogan. You're going over there to the UK and you're going to do a leg drop on them young kids. You do a damn leg drop on John Graziano, too? Man, you need to give up, man. You're too old. Nobody gives a shit about you anymore. Your problem is you're trying to live back in the old days and their history. You and that old toothless Brian Knob.
Man, go away, Hogan.
Hogan, you can't even rip your shirt no more. You get in the ring now, brother. And you don't even try to rip your shirt. You know why you can't do it? Because you... Hey. I can rip my shirt, Hogan. I can rip my shirt. You can't rip yours no more. Come on. Yeah, brother. Come on. See my guns. Come on, brother. And the only shirt you know how to rip is the ones that come off Brooke before you do the cross-face chicken wing. I heard the other day at the theme park, you were seen coming out of the goddamn Tunnel of Love with Dixie Carter eating a goddamn candy apple. How the hell do you eat candy apples with no fucking teeth? Bring it, brother! Tell Brooke to bring it, too. I got a package. I want to deliver it. Hey, Hogan. No, they do. Your next paycheck from TNA, you better watch it, you guys, because that ain't going to bounce. That goddamn wrestler went to cash in, and it bounced harder than goddamn Nick's car around that tree. Hey, Hogan, I hear Nick got his license back. This is his new vehicle. God damn. I lied. God damn. Look at it. Gotta break it. See what the fuck you call it, Hogan? You and Nick. I'm just talking about you and I get hurt. Thank God that bastard wasn't driving. I ain't lying, man. Look, it's crooked. It's crooked. Look, it goes. Oh, my God. That's painful. That's painful. That is motherfucking painful.
God laid some heavy shit on you, bro.
No, God didn't do nothing. Hogan did, you. Every time I... That hurts. I ain't kidding.
I love that guy. He's so much fun. Pretty accurate. So,
all right. You ready to go?
Yeah, man. Raw. All
right, so basically Raw opened up with a Triple H coming out and pretty much apologizing for not seeing Cena's foot on the ropes. And saying basically he had no idea that fucking Kevin Nash was gonna fucking do anything in that match with, you know, that cost cost CM Punk the championship and all types of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I see Triple H with the fucking mic, and unless he's got CM Punk standing across from him, I'm thinking, like...
All right, now we're going to all listen while this dork finishes his little useless yakety-yak-yak, okay?
You know, and thank God I have a DVR where I really don't have to listen to this dork. Because he is enormously corny. He doesn't work as a fucking powerhead to me. He still wants to get himself over, and I really can't fucking stomach Triple H on the fucking mic. So,
hey Jay, he's the coup of the company. He's the COO, the coup of the company.
COO. What does COO mean?
Chief Operating Officer.
Oh.
He's a chief, though, and he's an operating officer. It's a good way to say, storyline-wise, he's pretty much in power. But we all know Vince is really in power.
All right. Yep.
Because the stockholders would be all over that if Triple H was, you know, really in power. The stockholders would have a field day with this.
Jeez. All right. What else? Raw.
Okay, so, you know, he said that shit and blah, 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 you know, said shit like that. All right, so, I guess we have a opening matchup was the False Count Anywhere match between Truth and John Morrison.
I liked that match. I thought it was good. I always thought the feud had somewhere to go. They have a really good height comparison, and they're two guys that have... I got echo like a motherfucker right now. They're two guys that have a really good, ability. They have really good ability for their height. A lot of guys that are that tall are actually really, really limited in their mobility and really, they're not as agile. They're not as able to do the quick moving, exchanges and the chain wrestling and the high spots and all of that stuff. They're not really able to do as much of that. They usually end up the big boot fucking powerbomb guys. But
those old parts.
Yeah, but these guys are actually really able to work, and I think together they line up pretty well. And I was actually looking forward to seeing their feud that they had actually hyped up before Morrison got hurt. So now. Putting this back together, I think it goes pretty fucking well. And, I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then we had the women's match with Eve Torres and Kelly versus the Bella Twins. Yeah, we had that match.
What was that one?
Eve Torres and Kelly versus the Bella Twins. Yeah, that.
I must have fast forward through that because I don't remember it happening.
Yeah, it was awful. Crappy.
Did Natalya and them come
match,
out?
Yeah. They were wearing
that
black.
Part I saw.
Yeah, they were wearing all black. So I like
nice.
That.
Cool.
They look good together.
Yes,
anyway,
very much so.
After that, the CM Punk Kevin Nash angle happened.
Yeah, and here's kind of like what I was leading on saying before. Kevin Nash got made look like a fucking fool by a young guy. He wouldn't fucking, like, if Kevin Nash was anywhere near the booking committee, he would fucking send CM Punk back to Florida and let him fucking live there. Because that's the type of arrogant motherfucker he is. He still wants the fucking spotlight, obviously, or he wouldn't be in the ring talking to the most over guy in the fucking business. And, you know, he came out there, he cut a bunch of bullshit, he cut his same old shit. And again, that shit was real fucking cute fucking 10 years ago, dude, because, you know, you don't have the NWO anymore. Your fucking tag team partner has been in and out of rehab, and people got him on their fucking death watch. So, you know, you really can't fucking just step into the WWE, into their highest booked angle, and think that you're going to talk down the guy who has more, especially mic presence, than definitely anything you ever had in your career. Because you had the big man presence, you had the, You know, he had that whole cut a promo on a guy and leave, but not a feuding promos, not a dueling promos, not something where he had to talk to a guy, give him his response. No, he was like a say what I say, leave, crush a guy, throw Rey Mysterio off a truck, fucking, you know, I mean, do whatever he's got to do. But he was never a guy who had to answer to somebody because he was the big man. He was the guy. He was the main eventer. He was the big, big name. So there was no reason to let another guy say, well, what do you think about what he said? But fact of the matter is, times have changed. And sorry, Kev. I would recommend you, do that little backwards walk where you just, like, kind of creep out of the situation because it's really awkward for you to be standing there. Just kind of do that the best way you can and just fade to black. You know what I mean? Just creep out of camera vision because CM Punk is going to bury you. And, it's sickening that he gets put into that position, but the only thing that makes me happy about it is the fact that CM Punk has a fucking angle where he just shoots on anyone in front of him. And that's awesome. That's why, I saw, Nash out there with a mic and Punk out there with a mic, and honestly, Punk didn't get anywhere near as fucking personal as he could. But I was fucking happy. I was like, oh, shit, get him. you know, when a bunch of people are in the car, you know, in a circle and shit, like in the hood, and then you get one cat that you know that just needs to be ripped on, and the guy with all the jokes, you're just like, get him, and next thing you know, oh, you're dying laughing because somebody's getting ripped apart verbally. That's how I felt with Kevin Nash, you know, holding a mic across from CM Punk, who can clearly verbally destroy him. And, that's something to be looked forward to because Nash isn't going to back down. He thinks might have been a bad outing that night. I'm going to go back out and make this Punk look like garbage. No, you're really not. So, but, have at it. Have at it, Big Kev. Yep. Yeah.
So, did you watch this next part of Raw? Cause
did I watch kind of, what?
The next match on Raw was kind of fucking stupid. It made no sense, and they're doing stupid angles. Another stupid angle. Alex Riley versus Jack Swagger. Fucking Ziggler and Vicky are in commentary, and all they're fucking doing is bickering within each other.
No, I didn't watch that. I really don't have a lot of... I don't have a lot of stake in those guys. I really don't. I think the three of them are actually going to be something in the future. Whether it will be in the WWE or not, I don't know. But right now, they're just not that interesting to me. I do see something in all three of those between Ziggler, A-Rai, and
Swagger.
Swagger's... He needs fucking voice lessons. He needs to lose that lisp or, you know, I don't see big things for him. Other than that, you know, that's,
Ziggler and fucking Vicky are fighting, and it goes into a backstage segment. The match was blah. It goes into a backstage segment where Swagger wants Vicky Guerrero to manage him now.
Oh, Swagger does? Well, Swagger actually needs that. Because when he gets on the mic, he sounds like more of a woman than Vicky Guerrero does. And that's something that needs to be changed because that's what I'm saying. Like, as big of a dude as Swagger is, as soon as he grabs the mic, it's like fucking Mike Tyson. It's a horrible, horrible thing. And he's not legitimately hurting people like Mike Tyson did, so you wouldn't dare say anything and just let him do what he's got to do. Now, like, he just kind of, like, plays whatever role, but nothing to really be worried about. He's got, like, old Kurt Angle's moves and then a fucking lisp, you know? I mean, there's 100 gay people that have fucking less of a lisp than fucking Jack Swagger does. So.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know, man. He just comes off like shit to me.
The all-American Jack Swagger. Get the fuck out of here with that shit.
No, it's Swagger. It's with a T-H at the beginning of his Swagger. Go ahead.
Swagger. Swagger.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
So, in the next match, in a non-title tag team fucking match, Kofi Kingston and Evan Bourne defeat the tag champs Otunga and McGillicuddy. Why the fuck would they... This is what I hate about booking sometimes. They fucking have a tag team title, like, the tag team champions wrestle two people in a non-fucking tag title, in a non-title match.
All right,
like,
well, I mean...
Champ, put the belt on the fucking line.
At least their tag champions aren't getting world title shots 2 months in a row and pretending like they don't have belts.
Shoot, shoot.
I'll just mention. But, yeah, you know, I don't know, dude. Like, I like Kofi and I like...
Evan Bourne.
So, you know, if this is the way to get these two guys together, see if they can get over, see how they gel... Non-title match, boom, they actually put them over. So they may work like a little shorthand feud where these guys go back and forth and they end up with the belts. Well, I mean, that would be a great thing for Kofi to end up with gold again and for Bourne to end up with gold because they're hugely talented guys that I hate to see get thrown by the wayside because they're just not in the current plans. But honestly, what's not in the current plans is the tag team titles being taken seriously. I mean, they've been on dark matches on most of the pay-per-views. The tag titles have been defended on dark matches. Like, that shit should never happen. Your title matches, if they're on dark matches, you're fucked up. You're completely fucked up. So that's my thing. From what I hear, and that's part of why they signed the Kings of Wrestling, I hear that they're looking at the Briscoes. They're looking at a few people, you know, in the indies, ROH specifically. They'll probably end up re-signing World's Greatest Tag Team, the whole thing. You know what? I'm not really sure why, like, half of the fucking tag teams have to name themselves such as these guys do. Because it is kind of annoying. Like, you know, as much as I like both teams, like, you got the Kings of Wrestling and World's Greatest Tag Team. That kind of sounds like the same shit. It's like,
yeah.
We're better than you. You know the team of we're better than you? No, not
We're
the best in the company. We're better than you. I was talking about we're better than you versus we're the best in the company. They're actually going to be fighting. We're going to be champions next in a three-way next month. So you gotta look forward to that. You know, rulers of the world versus conquerors of the universe next month. You know, it's... It's going to be a big, big showdown.
Live on pay-per-view for $50.
There's just no effort put into the fucking names of these tag teams right now. There's no...
They're lazy.
No
They're
effort.
Lazy.
It's just like, we're the best thing ever. Oh, yeah? Well, we're the greatest thing to happen. Like, all right. Shit. The best around, the world's greatest tag team, and the Kings of Wrestling will be fighting in a three-way. That's
nice.
Oh. Huh. If you know the teams, it's actually a great match, but otherwise, oh, fucking shit with the names.
And maybe the team of the greatest team alive, too.
Oh, there you go.
The greatest team alive. We're going to have a new team, too.
So, but I'm saying, like, you know, they seem to be doing something. They really seem to be... thrown a little attempt at the tag team division, and I'm happy for that. And if Evan Bourne and Kofi end up a tag team within there, great, no problem. Because imagine those guys in the rings with the Kings of Wrestling, and hopefully, God help us, if they sign the fucking Briscoes. I mean, you got a serious, serious batch of talent in there between the Kings of Wrestling, the Briscoes. Of course, you can side tag team up once Colt gets there, the Second City Saints. I mean, there's a lot you can do. But, yeah, we'll have to see if they actually execute this the way that I hope, which is really doubtful. So.
Imagine the Briscoes and the world's greatest tag team in WWE.
Yeah. Plus the leaders of the new school and that's something else. the Kings of the Universe and Champions
of
Champions.
The Kings of Earth.
The Kings of the New Millennium, and
yeah.
The rulers of the free world. Yeah.
Yeah, good.
That'd be really good. So, okay, what else did we do on
Alright, so we got main event time, and it was Alberto Del Rio. Del Rio! Defending the WWE Championship against Rey Mysterio. Del Rio comes to the ring in a Ferrari F140.
I'd love to know what amount of money that they actually spend weekly on renting cars for his fucking entrances. I wonder.
Probably about $400 to $500.
That's it? I don't know. I would also love to know.
Some type of deal. They probably should get some type of deal.
I don't know. I bet it's more expensive than that. But I would also wonder if they ever, like, dinged the car coming out of the entrance. I would love to know that they did. I would love that.
Yeah, you fucking, like, you all of a sudden you hear, boom, because the fucking, they fucking hit the
stage. Nothing major, but, I mean, so much as a scrape on a car like that will fucking cost you a shitload of money. So I would love to know that they actually did that sometime. Because, I mean, you got a professional wrestler just driving fucking cars that are worth more than his fucking house out to the fucking ring, and, you know.
And who gets in the car and moves it? Because they're not there when fucking at the end of the match. You know what I mean? It's
well,
not
that's
like
the other
thing.
Yeah, who knows? He valets it every time. They should have Virgil out there valet parking the fucking cars. I mean, what is he doing these days? You can't tell me that wouldn't be a step up.
Oh, yeah, of course. But maybe he doesn't know how to drive.
Yeah. Well,
I'd like to see the Iron Sheik fucking driving these cars, valet parking these
cars. No. That would be very expensive. You just hear, fucking bullshit!
He's fucking, all of a sudden you're fucking screaming.
Fuck! wouldn't be
it
so
It would be
good.
More like Eric Sims driving the car.
Yeah. Well, whatever. So, yeah.
Post-match, Del Rio wins and fucking attacks Mysterio. Of course, Cena comes out and Cena fucking says the following. Del Rio's destiny is to get his ass kicked by Cena.
Yeah. That's great. I'm always excited when John Cena talks. It's always just like, oh, that's what we have to look forward to. What you just said. That's great. It's great. I mean, another colorful shirt, another week, another day, another,
He might go with yellow next week. Maybe yellow.
Yellow?
Maybe a rainbow color shirt.
Oh, yeah. There's that. There's always that. Oh, Jesus.
It seems like Raw went from fucking, it went from shit to the, it was all right, and then fucking shitty at the end.
Yeah, I mean, there were some ups, but there's just shades of them dropping the ball with the CM Punk angle already, and that to me is disturbing. You know, to just think for a minute that they're actually going to fucking put Kevin Nash in this angle, oh my God, it's painful. It is nearly physically painful for me to fucking think that Kevin Nash now has to be worked within this story angle. It's like a nightmare, you know? It's like, I'm surprised. Raw's going so good, and all of a sudden they're just like, fucking clowns and screaming and blood and dead children. Just nightmare thrown right into the fucking enjoyment of what you're watching. Terrible.
That was raw.
Clowns screaming dead children.
<Go ahead.
laughs> That was raw. So what do you wanna talk about?
Hold on, where the fuck do I have the notes? I have some notes.
Notes. Awesome.
Okay, so referee Mike Chioda was suspended 30 days for failing the wellness policy.
I don't know who that is. However,
he's a senior official, one of the senior officials. He referees. He's that skinny dude. He's been there with the company for years.
Oh. Still don't
been
know.
Been there for like 11 years.
Right. Cool. Maybe they'll put another guy in a referee costume, call him Mike whatever the fuck, and they'll book him for the next month. Instead. All right,
we got to talk about that because I definitely want to hear Sin Cara. What's your thoughts on the whole Sin Cara thing?
Ridiculous. They've obviously taken their best steps to not take him out of storyline, not take him off of TV. However, they took him off of TV. They just kept his gimmick, his angle, his persona on TV. So, just kind of weird. The other guy is doing all sorts of moves that he doesn't do, and it's kind of comical to me. I mean, what can you do though? Honestly,
are they bringing Mystical back or no? He's done.
From what I heard, yes. This is a temporary thing, but they wanted to keep him fresh, as well as getting this guy some in-ring fucking training work, whatever the case is.
Okay, good.
Good. So that's what that is. Oh, man. something I just have to bring up, dude, because I read this and I almost forgot about it, and it just popped into my head while I was talking about things that are ridiculous. They are building a storyline where Eric Young wants to fight and will be fighting Scott Baio.
What?
If Eric Young is calling out Scott Baio, Charles in charge. Yeah. Apparently, it started too when he attacked Jason Hervey, also known as Wayne from the Wonder Years. He attacked him in a skit in a convenience store. And I'm not bullshitting. This all sounds like a very creative joke, but this is TNA. This is TNA's actual fucking programming. He attacked fucking Jason Hervey from the fucking Wonder Years in a convenience store. And now this is leading to him calling out Scott Baio. And he is on a quest to fight Scott Baio. And that is comedy,
Vince Russo? Is this Vince Russo?
I mean, I don't know who else can flip this type of talent, but, yeah.
Yep.
It's,
interesting.
Oh, my God. I don't even know how to respond to this type of shit. I don't know if you'd call it. I mean, you might.
You want to hear some ridiculous stuff too?
Sure.
I was just listening to the radio this morning,
right.
Local radio station, and apparently Abercrombie and Fitch is trying to talk to the Jersey Shore. And they want to basically pay money to the Jersey Shore so the Jersey Shore does not wear any of their clothing.
Right. I had heard about that, too. Mainly the situation. Because
insane.
He had really put, emphasis on that. He wears that and wears that. And he was trying to more or less win himself a sponsorship. He's trying to win over a sponsorship and maybe commercial spots. And they have, in turn, pretty much offered him money to, stop wearing our clothes. You're making people hate us.
Yeah,
they're calling it the Abercrombie and Fituation. It's pretty
Who's
silly.
That wrong, though? Is the situation that wrong, or is Abercrombie and Fitch that wrong for this?
No. The Jersey Shore are a bunch of inbred retards that think that they're fucking the coolest thing ever, and because of a bunch of little inbred retards that fucking run around in this country, because of other people who have children that shouldn't be having children, that made that show incredibly popular, and think that they're the coolest people in the fucking world and that's the way to live, well, that's not necessarily the way a company wants to promote their clothing. Abercrombie & Fitch, although it's somewhere I would never shop, is a very accomplished clothing store. It is someone who built their reputation all by themselves without a bunch of fucking over-tanned, over-juiced douchebags fucking running around pumping their fists and punching bitches in the face. So the fact that he chose to take it on his shoulders and actually make, I like them clothes. I'm going to get paid off of them. Well, I guess you are, because they don't want you fucking wearing their shit anymore. That's incredible to me. What level of douchebag do you have to be to get paid not to wear some shit? Like, that is an impressive level of douche. That is like world douche champion, you know? Undisputed, unified world douchebag champion of the world. You know, fucking, yeah. And I said world twice. That's two worlds of douchebag champion. That's,
Dude, that's undisputed, too. You need undisputed world champion of the world.
Oh, yeah, undisputed. No one's disputing that. Who the fuck is paid not to wear some shit? I will pay you
how
not to wear hard clothing.
How
much
money is it going to be, though? How much money they're going to offer him?
Well, I mean, shit, man. I hate to take it off this roll of fucking talking about ridiculous things. So I figure let's go right from here and let's talk about the Gathering of the Juggalos show. Okay. Here's something I was not aware of. Okay, this show was packed with old men, like, TNA is jealous right now with the amount of old men that are in there. They probably had personal nurses and, you know, people walking around with medicine cups at certain times of the night, you know, to dispense meds to the locker room. I'm sure of it. However, as loaded as this show was and this and that, I mean, what would be the guess? Like, okay, this show, was reportedly confusion of when the show was going to start. Because if you don't know the Gathering of the Juggalos, there is comedy, there is musical acts all day, all night. It is a long, long, crazy, retarded. It is the gathering of the fucking mentally retarded, and that's actually more disrespectful to the mentally retarded than it is to the group that I'm talking about, because the mentally retarded are a much better group of people. So I don't mean to disrespect anybody that's mentally retarded by calling these people that. But this is what they come off with. And they throw shit at people, and they run into each other, and they eat too much, and they look disgusting for the most part, you know? I mean, you get a few people here and there that just didn't know what they were getting into or something like that. But they're mostly the biggest batches of white trash that you will ever find. If you are on like a white trash scavenger hunt, you hit a fucking gold mine stumbling into this point. You know? That's just how I feel. So anyway, with this long, long turn of events, there was apparently like they didn't know when the show was gonna start. Some were saying 10:15, some were saying 12 o'clock, midnight. We're talking midnight. Well, this show full of old people who normally go to bed at 6:30 started at 1:47 in the morning.
Damn.
It started out with Greg the Hammer Valentine defeating Tito Santana in a cage match in your opening contest in 3 minutes and 43 seconds. Right? Yes. Yes. Then they decided after, I don't know how long, after these people waited all fucking night, I don't know how long to take down the cage that they had to start the match
yeah.
with to have a
how long to set up the cage for a 3-fucking-minute match.
Legitimate. I mean, seriously. Then they had Mick Foley and them talk for a while to, I guess, fill time. So then the 15-man Battle Royal started.
Oh, my gosh.
Which Zach Gowen won.
What?
Zach Gowen won the 15-man Battle Royal. I mean, this Battle Royal included people such as Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Headbanger Mosh, Ronnie Garvin, Headbanger Thrasher, Carlito, Jimmy Snuka, Rob Conway, Tony Atlas, the original Doink the Clown, Matt Osborne.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, quite a... Oh! Brutus Beefcake.
Oh, boy.
I'm sorry. Eugene.
Oh,
Rikishi.
Boy.
Viscera. Disco Inferno. I'm fucking serious. Well, Zach Gowen came out with the win. That was, of course, a 28-minute match.
Holy shit.
Because... so, yeah.
Was a 3-minute match.
I do, too. Then, up next, was the Rock and Roll Express defeated the Midnight Express. In 33 seconds. 33 seconds.
Unbelievable.
All right. In case you haven't been thrilled enough, the next match, of course, there's little promos and people talking and trying to make fucking excuses for the shit that just happened before that. But anyway, match 4 was Rhino defeating Raven, Balls, Shane Douglas, Sabu, Too Cold Scorpio, and Al Snow in 3 minutes and 46 seconds.
Oh, my gosh.
There were apparently a table. I would say just a table. I don't know how many tables you can do in 3 minutes. Probably just a table, but that's fine. No.
What are the fucking fans thinking? This is fucking shitty.
The fans were thinking, why are my parents married and siblings? But then they went on to match 5, which was Bob Backlund beating Ken Patera.
Oh, boy.
6 minutes and 12 seconds.
Oh, my gosh.
That is awesome.
Why are my parents dying of siblings? That's hilarious.
So, then after that unbelievable contest, they had the Universal Heartthrob, Austin Idol, defeating Coco Beware, Dutch Mantel, Brickhouse Brown, and Dangerous Doug Gilbert. In 2 minutes and 42 seconds.
Oh, my God.
Yes, it was. After that, it was Tracy Smothers with Isabella defeating Wildfire Tommy Rich in 36 seconds. I'm not making any of these times up. Don't think that I'm embellishing these times to be funny. I am dead fucking serious. This is how funny this shit is. And I only barely need to joke through this whole readdown to make it funny.
Is this on Internet Hate Review?
It may have been. I don't know. Then you had Mr. I Need to Be Involved in This Storyline, Kevin Nash and X-Pac with Scott Hall, because Scott Hall obviously is far too wasted to actually compete and just be Kevin Nash and Scott Hall and actually have the outsiders. So it was Kevin Nash and X-Pac with a slurring, slow-moving Scott Hall defeating the New Age Outlaws with special guest referee Vampiro in 6 minutes and 27 seconds. I know this is like a big, huge spoiler, but they asked, you know, one of the fans said, Hall moved slow as the three got in the ring. Yeah, I didn't expect that at all. I mean, not the ring general that I know, not the Scott Hall that I know, whatever. Well, then you had, all right, fantastic. I believe,
great.
I think this was the main event. The main event of the evening.
Real quick, before you come to the match, how long was it?
How long was the match?
The main event. How long was the main event?
4 minutes and 14 seconds.
Okay, sorry. Continue.
Okay. Main event. In this corner, we have Roddy Piper and Cowboy Bob Orton defeating Terry Funk and Mick Foley in again 4 minutes and 14 seconds.
And then everybody went home. And there was
and a lot of promos. And a side note, the following wrestlers were advertised but did not appear. Brian Christopher, The Powers of Pain, Kamala, Jerry Lawler, and the Honky Tonk Man. Which is funny, because the Honky Tonk Man actually, like, promoted this shit on his internet radio show, and then didn't. They said the show ended at 4:17 in the morning.
Oh, my gosh.
And
oh, my gosh.
Overall, the whole show lasted 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Huh?
What?
2 hours and 30 minutes. That's...
The whole show lasted 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Wow.
It ended at 4:17 in the morning. It started at like 1:40-something in the morning, and it ended at 4:17. So by report, around 2.5 hours.
How much money did they make?
I don't know. I mean, it would, if anything, it would be lumped into the earnings of the entire, the gathering. So that's far more than it would just be by saying, yeah, well, you know, they did this or they did that, you know. It definitely wasn't just the fucking, the actual wrestling show. I mean, a good amount of those fans didn't give a shit about the wrestling show, and they really didn't have a whole lot of it to put up with. And I'm sure by that point in the day, night, whatever, they were fucking hammered, so.
Right. It would be funny to see the crowd reaction.
Nah, I'd rather not see that crowd in any way, shape, or form. I just have no
interest.
No reason to see that fucking that crowd breathe, let alone anything else. So, that is the gathering of the Juggalos. As entertaining as that may be.
We'll talk about it more next week, because there's a gathering of the Juggalos every week from now on, and the same fucking people. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, well, I was fucking thinking you were serious. I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me right now. That's
yeah,
fucking unbelievable.
Do a gathering every week. They're gonna put it on CZWFan.com. Anyway.
Yeah, man. Let me see what I got. Definitely got some more shit I want to talk about. We are going
to
be. I'm gonna play an Iron Sheik song, take a break, and we'll be back to talk some CZ fucking W. Just a minute, it will be playing. It's a little bit of a delay on it.
You can't be the gold medal. Hey, you champion are a sheik. You can't be the cold anger. You can't be the dangever. Remember, you are cocksucker motherfucker. I can beat the fuck out of you with one of my little finger. Brambler, you are no good motherfucker. I hate you the rest of my life.
I'm the legend, I'm like Dan Gable from Iowa.
184, I'm a gold medal.
I'm like Kurt Angle.
Rick Roman.
Jamarimasu.
I want to show you my gold medal, all America and you. None of them have gold medal except Mr. Kurt Angle
and Aaron Shea.
Because
you suck, Teddy Mercy. You suck, Dusty Rose. You suck,
Randy Savage.
You suck,
Bill Watts.
You suck,
Rambler.
You suck.
Hold on, come on, what?
You suck,
Dan Maloney.
You suck.
What was his name?
You suck,
Eric Sims.
You suck,
Andre John.
You suck,
Fabulous Moolah.
You suck,
Jim Robbins.
You suck,
Kremeskini Bastard.
You suck,
Hulk Hogan.
You suck,
his puppet
Jimmy Hart. You suck,
son of a bitch. Break your back.
Pass with the beer bottle.
Fuck your ass. You don't rock it. Break your back. You're the man.
Fuck your ass.
I'm the master. Break your back.
Shooting boys.
Fuck your ass.
Take your vitamin. Break your back. I'm the villain. Make you humble.
Better than nothing.
Anybody wants to see that? Arm six hammer back. Give me hell, God.
Because
you suck, Hulk Hogan.
You
suck, Hulk Hogan.
You
suck.
Because you know.
I'm the red.
You suck.
We make the money.
You suck.
$2, you suck.
You suck.
Fucking jackass.
You suck.
Cheat you, Russia.
You suck.
He used my marijuana.
You suck.
He drank my beer.
You suck.
But they never return us back.
You suck.
Get the fuck out of here.
You suck.
I'll never respect you again.
You suck.
You're a little piece of shit.
You suck.
You're like Michael Jackson.
You suck.
Fucking bullshit.
Break your back.
Suplex him.
Fuck your ass.
I'll put in the time of blood. Break your back.
I'm going to jail for you.
Fuck your ass.
And all the boys, break your back. And we give him a ride.
Fuck your ass.
Anytime you want. Break your back!
Your country, man!
Make you humble!
I've already wrong, but I made it America.
The most famous arena in the world.
Madison Square Garden in New York.
Nobody with my step Bob Buckland. I had you in the camel clutch!
I've got the holy fist!
I'm gonna come fuck your ass!
And you say she was like in front of
me. I heard she got very angry with you over $2.
Run! Nico Aizen! She son of a bitch! Man! I'm Wolfman! Back to the dead! People are today give the Wolfman $2! That's because it's a cheap Jew! Son of a bitch!
That's the Iron Sheik, as everybody does know. So, we're back. Yeah.
We are back.
And what should we get into? Should we do the CZW?
Man. Unless you wanna go into New Jack and Terry Runnels.
Well, we have a lot of things to talk about. I guess we'll go into CZW. I definitely want to get that out there and get some talk about that done and do that. I definitely have a lot of opinions on the show. There was a lot there. So don't know where to start. Eric was actually there. So
we can start with the opening match. We can do the opening match.
Hold on.
Aerial assault match was the opening match.
Right. The aerial assault match. Let me preface with this. This is a show that will for sure come off better on DVD than it came off live. And I understood that the entire time. So it wasn't something that I was going to hold against the company, because you got to understand, with two rings, when you have two rings set up, and you know, you can only sit so many places. So like where Eric was sitting, he had to, I got the echo again. He had to stare through the ring to my right in order to see the left ring. So he had to look through a whole ring in order to see the other ring if they were working over there. They primarily did most of their work in the right ring, which really didn't benefit me. I was sitting more or less in between the two rings, which you would think was a phenomenal thing, but a little more towards the left side. So the right ring was actually kind of hard for me to see. I could see it, but vantage point wasn't so great, and it was a hard show to actually see. So of course, the fan reaction to a lot of matches were kind of dull, because everyone from every vantage point had things they could see and couldn't see. So that's where a lot of the differential in this show on how people felt and stuff like that. That's where that came from. So what I can say is, yes, the show started out with the aerial assault match. Christian Haim, Pink Sanchez, 13, Ty Hagen, Latin Dragon, Isaiah, Ryan McBride, and Derek Frazier. Great to see Derek Frazier back. I miss that dude. Isaiah tore shit up. I really hope to see him back in the company. I've never gotten a chance to see this guy live before. During the match, he did a fucking, off of the little box things they use for the aerial assault, he did a swanton with a fucking chair, holding a chair on top of his head. And swantoned off that fucking box with a chair. Oh, man. Ballistic, crazy fucking spot. I mean, and the dude was just really good in the match. Towards the earlier sides of the match, who was it working? It was 13. I want to say 13 and Ty. It was definitely 13 and somebody working very, very sloppy around, like, my area. They were doing a lot of spots, and they were working really sloppy.
Yeah, yeah. Was it Pinky and 13, I think it was?
I don't think it was Pinky. I mean, I'd
McBride
be surprised if it was.
McBride and 13?
Very possible. Very possible. It was definitely 13. I do remember that part, but very, very sloppy work. He actually ended up picking up pace and actually getting his shit together. By the middle of the match, everyone was actually working in sync and everything like that. But, you know, with so much going on, it's hard to keep track of everything. And so, of course, you're going to see the stuff that's actually right in front of you. And it was a lot of, like, crazy, botchy type shit going on in front of me, where it was just kind of like all off a little bit, you know, and it happened to be those guys. But nothing to discredit the guys in this match, including those guys, because everyone went out of their fucking way and did a great job in this match. You know, a guy who's very the CZW fans are unfamiliar of, and he came in and actually won this match, and he was actually a substitute in this match. You know, Tony Nese and Ricochet were actually supposed to be in the match, and substituting for them ended up being Christian Haim and Derek Frazier. So Derek Frazier being very familiar with CZW and the fans knowing who he is. However, not the same for Christian Haim. He had done a whole lot of work, you know, Midwest type thing. He works a lot for Insanity Pro Wrestling over there. They have a you know, their 10-year anniversary show coming up this coming weekend. You know, he'll be working that, I'm sure. And now he has the number one contendership for the CZW Wire TV Championship. So, wish him luck. Like I said, that match was fucking crazy. Pinky did his fucking crazy ass stomp off the box to the dude in the corner. I mean, nutty shit. Great. So, definitely check this show out. The main event was something that people are going to be talking about for years and years to come. And everybody that picks a show up for the main event has a huge, huge bonus in this match. And, you know, there's other pluses within the show as well. But this is definitely a match where people are going to go, wow, I picked it up for Drake and Scotty. And oh, shit, this match is crazy. So, So that's big shit. So, yep. That's that.
And then they went into, I believe they went into that Gulak Invitational match. You want to say
yes,
that was
they
next?
Did. Yes, they did. All I can say about this, I don't really give a shit about the competitors or anything like that. I can tell you this. Nui Toifiga, I don't even know how to pronounce his name. He's been a security guard, you know, he's been security for CCW for a while. He's debuted, he's been part of Drew Gulak's thing. I'll get down to pronunciation of his name, you know, with the next couple weeks or whatever the case is. But he is quickly becoming a guy that I am very, very happy with his work. I mean, he comes out there and he destroys people. And what I've said for a while is we have lost a lot of crushers within CZW. You know, the Hate Club of Nick Gage and Nate Hatred were crushers. They came out and killed the fucking people they didn't like in the ring. You could look forward to that. When you knew that they hit the ring, it was not going to be some kind of technical match or exchange or you know, a bunch of little roll-ups and this and that. They were going to fuck people up. Well, that is something that now Nui has taken upon, and they're doing this where he is like the enforcer for Drew Gulak's stable, and they're testing out students, and he doesn't like them, he's taking them the fuck out. And Danny Havoc got involved, and he more or less fucked Danny Havoc up as well. He's something that I'm looking forward to seeing where they go with him. I think he can play a very big part in CZW. He's someone, that very, very powerful dude. And the way he's displaying his stuff against some of these younger guys and stuff is making him look like a fucking animal. And I couldn't be happier with it. So, yeah, big shout out to him. And that's great.
Yeah, of course. And then I think we went in, what was the next match after that? Was that the...
That was the tag match.
The four-way tag,
yes. I like this match. It was Azrael Bandido versus Blackout versus Set versus the Runaways. I like this match. It was another one of those matches that's going to come off far better on DVD for me than it did on live just because my vantage point wasn't really good for the right ring, and the match was primarily worked within the right ring, as a lot of the matches were, honestly. But everybody did really well. I'm a fan of this Set team that, you know, came in, you know, in the past couple months, and I've always been a fan of Azrael and Bandido. Ruckus, Alex Colon is really coming into his own, you know, after being a very kind of just off, just like off timing wise and everything like that. But he's really come into his own as far as a guy that, you know, can really blend in matches. And the Runaways, I mean, they've done their job. I cannot stand them. I don't think I ever will. But they're not as sloppy as they used to be. They're definitely working well within the match. They're doing everything they're supposed to be doing right. So really can't criticize them negatively. I'm not a fan of the, like I said, I probably never will be, but that doesn't make a difference. If they're doing their job right, then that's what it's all about. So
right.
That's Yeah, that was that match. Azrael and Bandido won, and they are the new number one contenders for the CZW Tag Team Championships, which is weird to me because the last time that the CZW Tag Team Championships were actually defended, it was against Azrael and Bandido Jr. And then the Tag Team Champions decided to go get world title shots, and now the next time they'll fight the same guys they fought the last time, and I don't really get that. But, okay. Next up.
It's not really going, you know, off my stuff, you know what I mean, off what I was, my advantage. The four-way action is pretty good, you know, because I saw the first ring, you know, that ring
pretty good.
So,
yes.
The set did some impressive double team stuff. Ruckus, you know, same old Ruckus, doing normal shit. I feel that he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing out there and kind of being lazy out there. But that's, you know, besides the point. Other than that, the set impressed me. Runaways, they suck. I know you feel the same way. And, yeah. That was that.
Well, next up, here we go.
Nigerian
the match. No, you don't. Next up, they continued this Men's Club USA storyline. Now, I need to know what the fuck is being thought about right now with this storyline.
Who's booking
Are
this?
They actually supposed to be faces? And the brutal South Philly CZW blood mark crowd is supposed to support a gay movement? I highly doubt that. But the first person who is actually coming in to oppose this gay movement is Niles Young. Now, okay, is Niles Young supposed to be a face? I don't think, honestly, I think there's a better chance of Vince Young winning a NFL MVP trophy than there is Niles Young being a successful face. So I'm hoping that that's not what they're trying to do, because that's not going to happen. However, what they ended up doing is they had Niles Young come out and call Cole Calloway and Larry Legend faggot and homo and all sorts of, you know, all that shit. Well, so, yeah. And then he got beat up, and then they pretty much made reference that they were going to rape him in the back of the arena. And everyone feels awkward, like mommy just beat, or daddy just beat mommy at the dinner table. Now we all have to eat. And, you know, that's what the CZW fans got left with. Just like, that's awkward. Keep eating your vegetables. It's like, so I don't know what the fuck we're supposed to feel about that. I really don't. I really, really don't. So I just hope the whole thing goes away. So, continuing the awkwardness, we had the mystery opponents who are going to fight Greg Excellent, and that is Nigerian Nightmares.
Oh, boy.
Nigerian Nightmares. These guys are hilarious to me. Not a good idea, but hilarious. Hilarious. These guys would have done phenomenal within the 80s in the WWF. Just this is the type of gimmick wrestler that worked really, really well back then. And they can move good enough. But, like, when they put them in there against the Briscoes, there's no way you're going to end that calling not a great match. I mean, I'm sorry, you can't. I mean, the dude's got back titties. Like, like well beyond double D cup back titties. You know what I mean? And that shit ain't cute. So, but either way, like, you're not going to get like a good tag team match out of it. You're going to get the gimmicky, big, enormous fucking gluttons, fucking morbidly obese fucking dudes jumping on people, and you're going, how did they live through that fat guy jumping on him just now? And that's pretty much it. And then playing up the gimmick and biting the ropes and licking their own face and that type of... And again, I mean, they play their gimmick, they play that gimmick wrestler role really well, but you know, CZW is a performance-type company. The indies have become a very performance-type company where you have guys like Davey Richards and Low Key and Sammy Callahan and people really like just knocking the shit out of each other. And you see these guys in the ring just kicking the shit out of each other. So now when you put within the same card a novelty act such as the Nigerian Nightmare, like... I gotta just laugh at them. I gotta laugh hysterically for the entire time they're in the ring. And I guess say that. I guess that's entertainment. You know, it's like a comedy bit amongst the show. So that's fine. Whatever. But there's no way you can expect me to take that seriously. It's like, oh, good. You know, Greg Excellent is really being punished right now because he's a comedy guy and now he's getting put in there with even more comedy guys. And Jesus, here we go. I don't know, dude. It's fucking ridiculous. So, Greg Excellence leaves in a stretcher. Nigerian Nightmares win. Water. So, then we have another match that is tremendous, and oh my god, you know, DVD wise, you know, when everybody goes out there and they cop that DVD because they heard about how unbelievable Scotty and Drake did this, another match that is just another complete bonus to your viewing pleasure is a hard hitting, strong style fucking showdown of Sammy Callahan and BJ Whitmer. And that was phenomenal. BJ Whitmer has zero ring rust. He was ready to go. Him and Sammy kicked the shit out of each other. And what a phenomenal way to follow a complete gimmick match with a hard-hitting contest that proves my point on why the Nigerian Nightmares don't really have any place within CZW, within Ring of Honor, Dragon Gate, fucking Evolve, you know, Gorilla, any of this stuff where people are actually going out and exerting large amounts of athleticism. I just don't get it. Great match. Love the match. Sammy won, and then of course DJ came out and interfered and bored us and hit his lariat a couple times. Yeah. So that was that. Then you have
the match looked good. It looked good from my perspective.
I like the match. I like it a lot. Then you had Sammy Callahan beating. No, you did not have Sammy Callahan. I'm reading the same thing again. Why? You had the Bulldozer Matt Tremont defeating Rory Little Mondo. I'm glad he added Rory to that. That's cool that he's his real name. He beat him in an Ultra Violent Tables match. This match, I gotta be completely honest, this match was the complete evidence that Little Mondo is not ready. Rory is not ready. He's been pushed into a spot that he didn't deserve yet. You know, it's still very early in him working this style, and I'm not saying this is a knock to him or anything like that, but like, there was a lot of botching. There was a lot of nervousness, and clearly within the finish, he clearly knocked, which let me mention, my girl brought to my attention that he brushed a whole bunch of the Christmas ornaments on the table, off the table, before he went up to the top rope to take the finish spot, the powerbomb through that table. Like, he brushed a bunch of the ornaments off the table so it would be less painful when he went through it. Like,
oh my gosh.
That's not a deathmatch wrestler who's fucking out for war. And I'm kind of, like, upset that Matt Tremont got put into this spot because, you know, you go from being put in Tournament of Death, which is a great thing. You know, he crushed Pinky Sanchez to get in there. Then he goes into Tournament of Death. They put him over the Necro Butcher, and convincingly, where the match came off, like, yeah, he's good enough. He is fucking good enough to beat the Necro Butcher, which, who the fuck gets that rub? That was awesome. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, I don't think Necro wanted to work a whole shitload of rounds or anything like that, but he came off believable against the Necro Butcher. I don't know how you go from that to jump back into, okay, now we have, you know, Little Mondo. Back to Little Mondo. Here's some more Little Mondo. All right, Little Mondo. No, it came off bad. You know, I wish Rory the best in the future and shit like that, but it just, he's not ready. He's really not fucking ready. It came off really, really awkward, and although there were some good spots and stuff like that, just overall, like, came off shitty as compared to the other things in Matt Tremont's, you know, in his work that he's done for the company since then. This is probably the worst of that, and I honestly can't blame him for that. So, sorry to have to say that, but it is what it is. Following that, you had Devin Moore. NGs. Shit. This was supposedly like a fans are gonna be lumberjacks and they're gonna have a raffle and this and that. They ended up having 4 fans and like 20 wrestlers as the lumberjacks. So that was weird. Weird.
Very weird.
Didn't make any sense. The one fan that, like, Sabian, I guess, attacked last month or whatever the case was, stood there with, like, the biggest dork smile on his face for the entire match and just, like, gripping his belt like he was holding a fucking snow cone at a fair. And, yeah, just looked real stupid. It looked fucking retarded. So that was just the stipulation alone, okay?
How about, then you had the fan that, the girl wrote a 10-page thing on? Was he one of the lumberjacks or no?
Oh, absolutely not. No. But of course, Steve, you know, in his ever popular attempt to get himself over and you know, not be noticed because Sabian hurts their feelings so much. You know, sure. When everybody, you know, were throwing streamers in the beginning of the match, oh, they brought some toilet paper from their outhouse and fucking threw that shit instead. Oh, so that's cute. Apparently you're not trying to get noticed anymore. That's fine. But, of course, his girl was not sitting there. I don't know if she was there at the show. I really don't pay that much attention to these people. They're just participating, just doing what they got to do to get G's over. You know what I mean? They're the diehard G's fans. Getting G's on every show. So, anyway. The match, I just, you know, could have been the ring point where I was at. I know the match got changed a lot because Devin got legitimately hurt during the match. They did a double stomp where Devin was in between the two rings, and G's double stomped him off the top rope. So pretty crazy spot and everything like that. But after that, the match kind of went downhill. Just really went really, really basic. Didn't do anything, you know, spectacular to me. Then the match ended with G's getting a roll up or whatever it was. And, Oh, Nina's saying she was at the show, but either way, I don't give a shit. Whatever. Oh man, I just watched an Eagle receiver get hit in the face with the ball and not catch it. That's great. 24-0 Steelers.
24-0 Eagles.
Really? You're reading the screen wrong.
What's the score? 24-0 what?
Steelers.
Fuck.
So, anyway,
fucking bullshit.
Didn't do that much for me. The stipulation was retarded. The finish was retarded. Jeez came out. Oh, shit, look at this guy. Jeez got the win. They start to announce new CCW World Heavyweight Champion. And then Maven comes running out and goes, no, restart the match. So they restart the match. Devin gets the roll up. Winner and still, or new, or whatever the fuck they said. Devin's still champion. So, yeah. Real. Yeah. So that's your world title match. Nothing that I would call a world title match, like I said. Certain people don't deserve to be world champions, and, you know, I'm not just saying because it is, you know, Dev got hurt, so I'm not going to say that, you know, he got hurt, so for that, well, fuck that shit. But I've been saying this for a while. It's not a world champion. He's not a world champion. So you can hate it, you can love it. Fucking catch feelings. It's really not my problem, but I watched Mox go in there and know how to be a world champion. I've seen Ego go in there and know how to be a world champion. I've seen Drake go in there for 2 years and know how to be a world champion. There's something that's completely missing from Dev, and it's just, you cannot be a, not anyone can be a flagship, quite honestly.
Right.
Like, not anyone can be a flagship. It's no knock on the person. You could be a great worker. You could be an entire asset to the company. You can be someone that everybody has to see work every show. Does not mean that you belong being the flagship of said company. So.
Right.
Just my opinion. Following that, had your intermission, and you had Scotty Vortex beating Drake Younger in a two-ring Psycho Circus Tangle Web death match.
Awesome fucking match.
Unbelievable. Not enough can be said about this match and how fucking insane and just talented for not dying in this match that Scotty and Drake are. These guys are fucking world-class athletes. Scotty, under circumstances beyond his control, got injured pretty early in the match due to a complete fuck-up within the CCW management or whoever runs that shit, but plate glass windows were placed into that ring. And I got to be honest, a retard can see that they replaced glass windows because the one of them was broken, but it was snapped. It was snapped, so the bottom of it looked like a wave. And those tempered glass windows, you can't break like that. They break into those little chunks. So
yeah,
it
yeah.
wouldn't be a clean cut at the bottom that looked like a wave if it wasn't a plate glass window. So they had that one and several other ones, which they quickly tucked under the fucking, you know, ropes once Scotty got hurt.
Right.
But he actually severed several tendons in his hand. And this shit could have turned out a lot worse. We really could have lost fucking Scotty. Like, that is one of the most dangerous fucking things and careless things that could have been done. And, you know,
ridiculous.
Scotty's going to be out for 2-3 months. He's going in for surgery. He's going to be out for 2-3 months. And the fact of the matter is, this match didn't suffer one bit because of that. Because why? Because Scotty and Drake are fucking warriors. These guys are what deathmatch wrestling is all about. These guys are the fucking, the epitome of what the fuck deathmatch wrestling can be. The highest level of deathmatch wrestling these guys put out there. They dedicated the match to J.C. Bailey. I couldn't be more happy that they mimicked every spot that J.C. Bailey and Madman Pondo did in their circus deathmatch in IWA back in the day. They did the spot where guy gets thrown off, the other guy does a swanton onto him off the scaffold into the barbed wire. They did the Russian leg sweep spot, and then they did the suplex off the scaffold spot. All three spots were, those were the three big spots that were used in the circus deathmatch that Madman Pondo and J.C. Bailey did. And they did that in tribute to J.C., and big, big shout-out to those guys. I mean, they just did a phenomenal job in that ring. I mean, you can't even put words into what these guys went through and just continued. And they did this like it was an everyday thing, and you got to see this match. Everybody out there, if you have not seen this match, you better purchase that DVD. I don't know if the iPay-per-view is still available, but if it is, you go ahead and buy that. I'm telling you, you know, and make sure you give Scotty and Drake a shout-out for that. Drake's going to be in a home being a daddy for a while. He's actually going to be at Insanity Pro Wrestling's 10-year anniversary show this coming Saturday. So, I mean, you guys could check that out. And, you know, if you see him in person, yo, give him a huge thank you for everything he's been doing. Give him a congrats on, you know, his efforts in this match, being a new father, and, you know, just let the dude rest. You know what I mean? Let the dude rest up, enjoy his family life, and, you know, no rush back, Drake, man. We love to see you, but in the same token, you deserve every bit of rest. Enjoy your family, brother. It's been a long time coming, and I think you're really going to like what you have ahead of you right now. So you just relax, man. We got a lot of stuff that a lot of people haven't seen, and I'm going to help make sure that these guys catch up on your work, and I think everybody will be very, very pleased with what you've given us. So just do you, man. Just do you. So.
Yeah,
that's the CZW show. You know, of course, we have next month another enormous show, and figure I'll play the promo that Masada sent out to Ryuji Ito. And because that is the matchup next month. Of course, it's going to start out with a little shitty music. A little bit of a pause because they're showing the ridiculous scars that came out of last month's gusset plate death match that he had with Danny Havoc. But then you'll hear his promo. So enjoy, guys.
September, Ito Ruchi, you're coming to Philadelphia to CZW, motherfucker. Gusset plate deathmatch. I'm sure a fucking gimmick you're going to try to rip off me again, you piece of shit. You know, 8 years of being in Big Japan and going through bullshit constantly every fucking day, trying to fucking figure out how I'm going to fucking eat over there and fucking working my ass off for that fucking company to build some fucking pristine to that fucking company whenever fucking Gaijin fucking left it. The working relationship with CZW in Big Japan is back. You need to figure out which side I'm going to be on. Yeah, Big Japan's on my fucking logo. Right here on my fucking shorts. Because I consider that my Japanese home-based company. But you fucking treated me like fucking dog shit. And you know that's a fucking shoot, you piece of shit. You get the translators over to Japan to fucking, so you can understand this? When you kayfabe the fact that you speak fucking English? September, you're coming to Philadelphia to the fucking CZW Arena. And I swear to fucking God, win or lose, I'm gonna beat your fucking ass. Look at that shit, you fucking piece of shit. We'll send this shit to Samurai TV, you fucking asshole. You and Hoshino fucking last fucking month ripped off me and Thumbtack Jack's fucking syringe spot. Fuck you. You're an uncreative piece of shit, dude, that's over fucking hyped. And you fucking know it. There's no fucking politics in this fucking company. There's no fucking office in Japan in this fucking company that's gonna save your fucking ass. When this fucking work of a fucking business turns into a goddamn fucking shoot. I'll see you fucking September, motherfucker.
Be a crazy fucking match. He seems very angry. Very angry. What can you do? So what do you want to get into?
We talk New Jack. New Jack and Terry Reynolds. It's been getting crazy.
Yeah, it's to the point now where New Jack is asking fans that see her post anything about him on Facebook to take a picture of it and then put it into his inbox. He's apparently, I guess, this is his way of preparing a case because they are going to end up in court. And,
well, they already are in court. They already are
well,
in court.
Yeah, I guess, you know, he's calling for that last minute, you know, someone runs in with a bag of papers that have fucking pictures of emails on it, and I don't know.
This is getting ridiculous.
Yes, it is.
Even on Fox fucking Sports, too. So.
Huh?
But it was even on Fox Sports. That
it's getting pretty heated over there. Well, something What?
I was going to say, we might have a caller.
Yeah, something I definitely want to get back. We did last week, we had Reggie on, and I think it's only right that we bring this guy back because he was so unbelievably entertaining. This guy is a quite shocking individual. I mean, some of the things that this guy says, you really won't even believe. I mean, I have a hard time grasping this guy overall. So,
we put him on.
Yeah, let's put him on. I'd like to welcome back to the show at this time, Reggie Tiller.
Hey, Dad.
How you doing, Reggie? You know, we talked to you last week, and you know, you had a lot of crazy things going on. I mean, what has gone on between last week and now in your world?
I traveled across the country having sex with men, women, dogs, cats, rabbits, everything.
Wow. I mean, that's incredible. You're not even losing a step. You're going right in where we left off last week. And I mean, Reggie, I mean, is there ever a point where you're going to stop this type of behavior? Is there something that, you know, pretty much what I just said. I mean, are you going to stop this behavior? What's up, man?
Absolutely not.
Well, this is crazy. I mean, what is the reason? Like, that, what actually bothers you that pushes you to this type of thing? Like, you know, what goes on?
I really, really don't want to be a Negro no more.
Oh, Reggie. I mean, I don't see what's wrong with that at all. You know, why don't you just go out there and be yourself? You know, why don't you just go out there, live your life, be yourself? I mean, you know, you're classifying yourself as, you know, colors and this and that, you know, and you're really putting too much weight on that. You know, what is your problem with that? Why does that even bother you?
People still think I'm black, and it makes me sick.
Dude, I really don't think that there's anything wrong with being black. I have no problem with black people. I don't see why, you know, this would be a problem to you, and why, you know, you would see it as such a serious thing that you're trying to fight. Reggie, you're obviously black, and what is your problem with black people?
They make me sick. It disgusts me that we live in a world where these people are allowed to breathe the same air I breathe.
Reggie, that's disgusting. I mean, the stuff you're saying to me, I mean, I can't support that at all, dude. That's completely terrible. I can't support that whatsoever, dude. I am far from racist, and I can't even put into words the way that, you know, I feel about, you know, some of your statements are just completely offline. I mean, how are you going to change the person that you actually are and the person you were born as?
I cut a part of my penis off to make it smaller.
But, well, why would you do that? I mean, why would you actually? My God, dude, I can't even understand this. And I mean, what happens? Like, when you go to school and you act like this? I mean, you're a young guy. You go to school and you act like this type of shit in school, and, like, what happens?
The kids at school piss in my food, throw weight loss books at me, and take a crap in my book bag.
Well, Reggie, is that not a good sign to not act the way that you're acting? I mean, it's just, you know, you don't think that you should change anything you're doing?
Absolutely not.
Reggie, seriously, there's gotta be a better way. I mean, there's gotta be something better to do than, you know, what you're doing. I mean, you're into so much crazy stuff that, I mean, what else? Where else can this go, man? I'm really getting annoyed with you, man. I can't even. It's hard to tolerate some of the stuff you're saying.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
And then somehow you find the nerve to fucking come at me like you're upset with me not understanding what you're saying to me. Like, I don't even understand that.
You're not really white.
Dude, I don't have a problem with accepting who I am, and I can tell you for sure that I am white. You know, what would actually, you know, push you to feel this type of way about me, you know, and colors and the animals you're into and all of this stuff? What puts you in this mind state?
I ended up smoking crack and snorting heroin, cut with gunpowder.
That's fucking insane, Reggie. You know, I mean, what is the end all, man? Like, where does this stop?
Should I kill myself?
No, I don't think you should kill yourself. I just think that there's some things you really, really need to change. I mean, I can't understand. And why would you continue to conduct this type of lifestyle? I think that, you know, there's better things out for you, Reggie, you know, and...
Prostitutes.
Well, I mean, honestly, prostitutes would probably be a step up for you right now for what you're doing.
No.
No, I mean, come on, man, like... Do you really think that you can't give up having sex with animals and teddy bears?
I'd rather be dead.
Oh, that's ridiculous. I mean, seriously, is it that serious to you?
I have to have sex with the teddy bear.
Well, even that's probably safer than some of the other stuff you're doing, because I don't understand.
This is how I would approach a white girl. I traveled across the country having sex with men, women, dogs, cats, rabbits, everything.
Well, I don't care if the girl's white or what she is. I don't think that's an appropriate way to approach any girl. I don't think that's going to get you anywhere with that girl other than maybe a restraining order, because you're actually going to approach a white girl that way, are you? I mean, that's kind of crazy. Do you really think that this is an acceptable way of living?
Bill Clinton even tried.
No, he didn't, dude. I mean, you keep bringing up these type of things, and I don't even think you did any research on it. You just keep finding these excuses and ways and people who actually put you up to it, and I don't believe you.
DJ Hyde and stuff. He gave me permission.
No, he didn't, dude. I mean, it's just, you know, at this point, I got to call you a liar, man, because I don't think Bill Clinton had any of these relations. I don't think DJ Hyde gave you permission. I don't think any of that. Dude, you got to be lying to me.
Don't you dare!
See, again, now you're getting angry, and, you know, dude, I really, really can't, you know, support that type of attitude that you're putting out there to me. I don't know. I mean, when was the last time that you actually just had normal relations with a woman?
I can't remember.
I mean, maybe you should try. I mean, do you think that there's a point where you can actually try to have, you know, relations with a woman? Is there anyone that you actually have a crush on, or you're trying to, you know, maybe get with? And, you know, maybe you can push that.
Casey Anthony.
Dude, that's I think I told you last week, but that's not a good idea. Like, you probably shouldn't do that.
You ain't gonna stop me.
Yeah, but I mean, whether someone's going to stop you or not, I'm just trying to give you, you know, advice and telling you that that's just not a good idea. There's really not a lot of fucking things that are going to be good that comes out of that.
If I had a girlfriend that killed a kid, I would not like it.
Right, so that's why I'm telling you that, you know, Casey Anthony would probably not be the girl for you. And, you know, just don't put any, you know, immediate rush on that.
But I kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And putting it off.
I know, and that's probably a good thing. You should probably continue to put that off, because that's just not a good idea whatsoever. And, you know, I really don't know what else that you got in mind, but just put that one on the back burner for now, because I'm telling you, it's not a good idea.
I feel very sexually attracted to my dog.
No, dude. You really need to back off of that angle. That's terrible. I mean, your dog, I mean, it's just not a good thing. It's just not a good thing. Reggie, I mean, you're really bothering me. You know, I'm an animal lover and all of that stuff, and just the way you're going, I'm just really annoyed that I even let you on the air, and
Can we reconcile? What can I do for you to not be angry with me?
Well, I mean, for starters, you could probably stop having sex with animals, you know, and craving Casey Anthony so much. I mean, she's such a terrible person that, you know, I mean, you'd have to be retarded to get with this chick.
You call me a retard?
That's what I'm saying, Reggie. I mean, you can't do this type of thing. You can't go, you know, banging teddy bears and doing these random things.
Teddy bears, bro? Teddy bears? Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious, Reggie. You just, you gotta rein it in, and you just gotta find a way, you know, to actually, you know, just get right, you know, and I don't know, man.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, again, I just don't think that you should be that upset about this. You should actually, you know, find a way to live like a normal person. And I don't think that you need to be this way. You just need to find, you know, a better way. I mean, maybe get some counseling. Maybe get a book. Maybe something like that. And
you don't disrespect me because I hit you with this frying pan.
Oh, well, here you go again, just being a, you get crazy, man. I don't even know how to handle it.
You're a coward, and you're acting like a jerk. You're a coward.
I'm not a coward. I mean, believe me, I'm talking to you straight. I'm not coming at you, you know, any sideways. I'm not holding anything back from you, anything like that. You know, I mean, we should probably just get together, squash this whole thing.
Who want to come to my bin line kill party?
I don't want to come to your bin Laden kill party, but, you know, either way, Reggie, I think you're a good guy, and I don't think that it, you know, it needs to go to this type of level. I mean, you know, maybe, I don't know, man, maybe we could listen to some music, you know, just chill out, you know, relax your mind, man.
Amy Winehouse.
Well, I don't think Amy Winehouse is going to put you in a better mood, you know, seeing as the circumstances, and, you know, she only has so many hits, so, but either way, man, I'm pretty much going to have to let you go, buddy. You know, hopefully, you know, we can get you on again. I mean, I have a good time having you on. I don't know why. I mean, you're kind of off the handle. But, you know, you come on, you share your opinions. I hope maybe I give you a little bit of guidance. Maybe I keep you from raping a dog or a teddy bear or doing more of that heroin laced with gunpowder or whatever you were talking about, you know.
I'm not black.
Oh, Reggie, here you go. But, I mean, either way, do you think that, you know, you could give us a shout-out before you get off?
Your company that comes on Thursday nights at 9 o'clock?
Yeah, that's the one, buddy. Well, I guess, you know, we'll have to, you know, talk to you next week, buddy. You know, hopefully you'll actually be able to come on and, yeah, have some more conversation with me. And, I mean, that would be just fine with me. Do you think you could do that? Or, you know, I mean, what can we look forward to? Can you do that for us?
Yes!
All right, Reggie. I guess we'll see you next week. Thanks. Thanks, Reggie. All right. Well, I actually lost Eric while I was talking to Reggie and all of his, you know. Yeah, he said his phone got red hot, crazy hot. That's what happens. You get Reggie on the line, your phone gets hot. The shit is hot. So, yeah, it's pretty much what it is. I'm going to give my shout-outs for the week, and that is, of course, my friends over at the Wrestling Soup, which is Anthony Missionary Thomas and Joey Numbers. Check them out. They are on live right now. They come on at 10:15. And, you know, they're on every Thursday. I always encourage people to check them out on the, you know, the archive. Just because, you know, I mean, we're on at 9. Jeez. I mean, it's might as well. You know, check them out on the archive. They have so many listeners, it's ridiculous. Why not be another one of them? Check them out on the archive. They're a wonderful listen. I like to listen to them during the week, you know, while I'm at work. They're a phenomenal show, hilarious. Check them out for sure. Those are my dudes. The Real Side Media, that is my boy John Gray over there. He does a good thing. He has on a lot of guests. He does a lot of stuff with indie wrestling. Check him out. He does a good thing, too. Big shout-out to him. I don't think I got anybody else to shout out. Of course, our listeners, whoever there are out there, you know, you guys are fucking awesome. Keep coming back next Thursday, 9 p.m. We may have a guest. If we do have a guest, we will be letting you know. If we don't, we don't. You know, it's just, you know, that's just what it is. But, yeah, I think I'm pretty much going to close the show out. So, for the absent Eric Williams, I am J-Cat Morris. We'll check you motherfuckers out next Thursday, 9 p.m. Yakuza Kick Radio.
This is my first attempt at a eHarmony video. I'm nervous, but I'm excited at the same time. So I'm just gonna start talking about what I like. I love cats. I love every kind of cat. I just wanna hug all of them, but I can't hug every cat. So anyway, I am a cat lover and I love to run. I'm sorry I'm being a bad cat, I guess I really love a cat. I'm thinking about cats again. I think about how many don't have a home and how I should have some. I think about how cute they are, and how their ears, and the whiskers, and the nose. I just want them, and I want them, and I want them in the back end, and I want little bow ties. I just want them, and I want them to be on a rainbow, and in my bed, and I just want to roll around, to roll around, round, round, round. Sorry, I'm getting emotional. I love cats. I love every kind of cat. I just wanna hug all of them, but I can't hug every cat. Can't hug every cat. So anyway, I am a cat lover and I love to run. I'm sorry I'm being a bad cat. I guess I really love all cats. But I can't hug every cat.
Can't hug every cat. But you go to the back and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.
We're taking over. We're taking over.